was going to get up and stop Mike a while ago and make one announcement myself, and I wasn't quick enough to do that, but he did it. But I just wanted to say again, if you haven't seen Maverick Northrup or Larry back here, grab them this morning, pat them on the back, and tell them what an amazing job that they did. If we're not proud of our young people for the accomplishments at school, being named the outstanding, the fifth grade champion at the science fair, that's pretty impressive. That's an awesome thing. So just pat them on the back. Tell them what a good job that they've done. The invitation. The title of the lesson this morning, I Googled invitation. Has anyone ever done that before? Anyone? I didn't think so. I did. Do you know what you get when you Google the word invitation? 1,600,000,000, and they just stop there. Hits. You can look for the rest of your life and into eternity and never be able to read everything on Google about an invitation. I don't know about you if that's strange to you or not that I would do that, but I just thought this lesson is about the invitation, and I thought, what does it look like? And so a lot of the things will pop up, different types of invitations. Things that you can buy that are pre-printed, things that letterheads and stationery and cards and all those things, or what invitations are for, or some definitions of, and you start looking and you know, there are all kinds of invitations, all different ways that we invite people to things, right? We send out cards, we send out letters, we send out emails or texts. Man, I don't know, maybe you even send out a smoke signal. But we send out all different kinds of invitations to come and join us. Sometimes we offer invitations in very personal ways, baby showers, things like that. Some in impersonal ways. Businesses that have been in business for many, many years, maybe 25 years, they'll send out an invitation to come and eat a hot dog at their bank or at their place of business, right? So those things are there. During our worship service, we always offer an invitation. I don't remember being in a worship time that we haven't ever offered an invitation. And I'll say as preachers, sometimes we offer the invitation a little bit differently because of a very specific point that we've been trying to make in a lesson. But we've never changed the real reason why we offer an invitation. We can't. We don't have that authority. And so this morning, I want to share with you a few things about our invitation and why we offer it, why we're always offering an invitation. And so I want to introduce you, as if you didn't know anything about Him, I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. I want to share a few things with you about Him because I believe we have to understand some of the absolute deep, deep truths about Jesus Christ. And if you were to go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that exists. And if we were to open up to Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16 and 17, He says, for by Him, the context being Jesus, for by Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created. All things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. One of the first things we have to understand about Jesus is this. He is the most powerful being that's ever been in existence. He is the creator of everything that exists. He is the one who spoke and the mountains found their form. The galaxies around us, all of the stars they found their form and how they are and how they're out there and the beauty that we see in those and their light and darkness and all of those things have found their existence in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think this world forgets those things. What is more powerful than Jesus Christ? Nothing. But we have to understand not only His power, we have to understand also His heart. In John chapter 5, we're introduced to a man who's been crippled for the majority of his life, or at least for a long, long time. And he's laying there beside the pool of Bethesda, and we know that the angel of God ever so often comes down and he stirs the water, and whoever gets in the water first was going to be healed of whatever that disease was. And Jesus is talking to him, and he says, basically, do you want to be healed? And he goes, well, yeah, but every time the water stirs, by the time I can get over, because no one's here to help me, before I can get in the water, someone else is already in the water, and they get the healing, and I don't. And so Jesus, from a heart of compassion, heals him. And he says, take up your bed and walk. And then you think about other places like the chapter earlier in John chapter 4. The Lord goes up to a well and there's a lady from Samaria there. And we know that Jews and Samaritans don't want anything to do with each other. They actually kind of hate each other. And here's this lady who needs someone in her life. Someone to love her. Someone to care about her. And Jesus goes up and he begins talking to her, which was an absolute no-no. But he walked up and he asked her for a drink. And they start a conversation. And he starts telling her the truth. And he's showing a heart of compassion to someone that no other Jew, no even his own disciples, would have never dreamed of stopping and talking to that woman. And we look around the world today and think, how many people are outcasts? And we wouldn't want to have any conversation with them. But Jesus says, they're worth it. I'll talk to them. I'll love them. Luke 17, those 10 lepers. And we know, if you know anything about leprosy, no one wants anything to do with a leper. We've heard lots and lots of stories and lessons over the lepers. But here he is, and Jesus goes to them, and he talks to them, and he heals all of them. Well, no one else would even want anything to do with them. We don't want to talk to them. We don't want to be around them. We don't even want to breathe the same air that they're breathing because we may catch whatever they have. We don't want anything to do with them. But Jesus said, I will. I'll talk to you and I'll heal you because I love you and I want what's best for you. And so when we understand His love and His compassion, we have to realize that this love that He's shown is from a choice that He made. You think about in the garden before He goes to the cross, and we've read all these stories. I'm not telling you anything new, but I want you to understand when we're telling the world, when we're talking and we're offering an invitation, we have to understand why we're offering it. Why would someone listen to an invitation if we don't have something to give them that they want? And so we talk about these things, and we talk about His love, and that He made a choice for us. In the garden, He says, Father, if this cup can pass from me, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to do those things, but it's not my will. It's your will be done. And then I really like, at the end of John, when the Lord goes, and He has been crucified, and He's been raised, and He's sitting there on talking to those disciples, and He looks at Peter, who's denied Him three times, and He says, Peter, do you love me? You see, He's trying to bring Peter back into that relationship. A relationship that Peter said, I don't know that I really want. I don't know if I want to be this embarrassed. I don't want to know if I want to go on trial. I don't think I want to go on trial for someone to tell me that we're going to put you to death also. You're His disciple. And look what we did to Him. I don't know that I want to make that commitment, but Jesus is looking at him in the eyes, and He knows. He already told him, Peter, you are going to deny me three times, and Peter did it. and he's embarrassed, and he's hurting, and he's lost, and Jesus gets him and says, Peter, look at me. Look me in the eye. Do you love me? You know I love you. And feed my sheep. Take care of those that I'm putting in your hands when I leave. Love them like I would. Peter, are you ready to give your own life for them? That's what I'm asking you. If you love me, Peter, if you love me, you'll do these things. And so we start understanding who Jesus is. Yeah, is he powerful? Is he the creator? You better believe he is. But does he have a heart of compassion and love that maybe we still are struggling to understand and to receive for ourselves? And so we start contemplating. When we introduce Jesus to someone and we start talking about him and we say, do you know my Jesus? Do you know who he is? Well, let me tell you a little bit about him. And as we tell him the story and you start watching, their minds are thinking and their hearts are changing. Do I really want to give my life to him? Is this worth me looking at? And so that's what we're trying to do. Introduce people to who Jesus Christ really is. And when they start saying, he seems pretty good. He seems pretty big, and he seems pretty important, doesn't he? We say, well, yeah, and let me share something else with you. There's this thing that we call his call to discipleship. Things that he's saying, I want you to follow me. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he says, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, sometimes what we think is, life is chaos, and if I become a Christian, he's going to take all of that chaos out of my life. I'm not going to struggle anymore. I'm not going to have all of those thoughts and the anger and all the issues. I ain't going to have any of those things ever affect me again. Is that what he says? Any of y'all void of all of that? Any of you, life is just absolutely perfect. Nothing goes wrong in life. So what was he saying? I find it interesting that he says, put my yoke upon you. And if you know what a yoke is, when you bind cattle or oxen or horses together and put them to a plow or a buggy or whatever it is, they're working, they're laboring. And he says, if you put that on, I will guide you. Any of you ever ridden in a buggy, a horse-drawn buggy, with a yoke around him or her? And what are you doing with that? You are guiding that animal where you want him to go, correct? And so you, as the one, as the master, you know the trail. You know where you want this horse to go and to follow. And if they don't stay on the trail, what can happen? I can tell you, a couple of boys the other day got off the trail, not in a horse-drawn buggy, but in a pickup, and they got off the road. What do you think with all the rain happened? They were stuck. And they couldn't get out. And they had to have some help. He says, if you'll put my yoke on you, I'll guide you everywhere you need to go. I'll give you the answers to this life. I'll help you. I will. When you go home at night to lay your head on a pillow, you can rest. Because I will guide you into doing and saying and everything that you need in your life. I'll give you the answers that you need. But we talk about Jesus and we talk about his call is very important. He loves us. In Matthew chapter 4, he's talking to Peter and Andrew, and he says, if you'll come and you'll follow me, I will make you what? Fishers of men. Now what you're doing may seem important, but I'm telling you, put the fishing nets down and I'll make you real fishermen. I'll make you fishers of men. I will give you the truth to take out into this world. I will help you. I will make your life successful. I will give you reasons to get out of bed every day of your life. I will give you all of those things. And could he have made, could he have talked to someone else? Maybe he's talking to a banker. And he says to the banker, follow me and I'll teach you about true investments in your life. Maybe you talk about a car salesman and say, you know what? I want to help you understand what a real extended warranty is all about. Maybe you talk to other people, police officer, about peacekeeping. A doctor about true healing. He's trying to get across. Follow me and I will make you, because they understood fishing, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make your life meaningful. But he says, you have to take up your cross and follow me every day. This life is not going to be easy. There are going to be hurdles you're going to have to overcome. There are going to be a lot of expectations placed on you as my disciple to live a life differently than those around you. Don't take this commitment lightly. If you want to follow me, if you want all these blessings that I'm willing to give you, understand that there's a commitment that goes along with it. And you have to give your life to follow me. Then we have to understand too. Not only is he great, not only is he an awesome God, not only does he expect great things of us, but then comes the promises. And here's how we sell the invitation, if you will. Not that it needs absolutely for us to sell it, but people need to grasp this. He says, here are my promises. You've heard the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is a very simple thing, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 3 and 4. He says that it's about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gave his life to fulfill the law's demands, to bring people back into a relationship with God. He was buried, and it was God who raised him from the dead. And those three simple facts give us hope in our life for now and all eternity. Here's our promise. His death, his burial, his resurrection is for you and for me. And so when we're talking to someone and we're sharing with them, and we ask them those questions. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? These promises are for those who have already believed. These promises are for those who have repented of our lifestyle choices and said, I want to be your disciple. These promises are for those who have confessed his name, a commitment to him, to discipleship in him, that he has become the Lord of our life because we've made that choice. It is for those who have been immersed into Christ Jesus, because we know through Scripture, we know that once we've heard the message of the gospel, and we know that when we believe that message that God has given us, and we know once we've repented of that lifestyle changed and said, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to live in him. I'm going to follow him. And when we confess his name as the Lord of our life and we're immersed into him, we find all of those wonderful blessings. Ephesians chapter 1:7 says, we in Christ, we receive the forgiveness of sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul says, we have been washed, we have been sanctified, we have been justified. Where? In Jesus Christ. Do you want forgiveness? Do you want to be washed? Do you want to be sanctified? Do you want to be justified? It can't happen outside Jesus Christ. It happens in him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says that we have the grace of God, which is what saves us. But we have this grace of God in Jesus Christ. We have the promise of eternal life. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 and Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, promises do we have in Christ? Every promise. There is no promise outside of Christ. There is nothing. We cannot receive any kind of benefits, any kind of spiritual blessings, nothing outside of Jesus Christ. And so we think, all right, this is what I want. And then I think a passage I just read a couple of days ago at a service that I was performing. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, you don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you. But listen, he's going to prepare a place and has already done it for you. There is a home prepared for you already in heaven. And I love this, and the older I've gotten, it means a lot more to me now, because I think, and maybe I shared this with you before, but I think about this home that he is preparing in such a way that it's absolutely perfect for me. I'm going to finally realize a place of rest that I've never fully understood. A place that I'm going to love and I'm never going to want to leave. You've heard people that said about people that, well, he or she, they just really don't want to leave home. They just want to stay right there. They have a favorite seat or chair or whatever, and they don't ever want to get out. I've never really met anyone that never wants to move and want to sit in one place the rest of their life and not do anything. But we hear that. In heaven, we're going to find a place that we don't ever want to leave. We don't ever want to go on an extended vacation somewhere and go, well, I wonder what the beach is like at this time of the year. I wonder what, you see, heaven's not going to be like that. Heaven is going to be so absolutely perfect for us because it was created for us by the one who created us, who knows everything about us. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I do, I will come back for you so that you may be where I am also. And oh, by the way, you know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I know that the majority of you, if not every single person in here, doesn't really need to hear the name Jesus to know who we're talking about. I know I don't have to tell you that he is a creator of everything that exists and that he loves more deeply than any of us would ever possibly be able to love. I know I don't have to tell you that he cares more for you than anyone else has ever or ever will care for you. I know I don't have to tell you that, but it's good to be reminded at times in our life that's who Jesus is. That's how much he loves us. And I don't have to tell you that there is no life outside of him. There is no hope outside of him. There is no justification outside of Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness. There is nothing. There's no grace or mercy. There's none of those things outside of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to say it anyway. Because the invitation is to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message is simply just what God has said and Christ has said. Do you believe? Do you believe? Because you see, it takes us believing in who he is. It takes us believing in the scheme of redemption that God began from the beginning of time to bring about our relationship renewal with our Father that was lost. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you confessed his name? Have you said, I don't want to live any longer to myself? I don't want to live on all the choices that I've made. I don't want to do those things. I'm ready to make a commitment. I'm ready to repent. And you know, a lot of times we look back over our life and there's times in our life when we think, okay, all I need to do is I need to go up there and say, yep, I welcome Jesus. And then I can go and live my life any way that I want. And I've had this conversation over and over and over and over with teenagers for almost 30 years when they don't make it to Bible class. And I say, why weren't you here? And they go, oh, I'm so tired. How many of y'all are tired on Sunday mornings? Anybody? And I said, well, what time did you go to bed? Oh, man, we were up till like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Why were you up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, we watched a movie and we had some popcorn. We played some video games. My friends were over. We were doing all these things. Okay. Now, once again, I'm asking you, why were you up so late? Well, I just told... No, you didn't. You told me some things you were doing, but you didn't tell me why you were doing them. Because if I remember right, when we talked about you giving your life to Jesus Christ, you said it's no longer me who's in control of my life, but it's in Him. And if you know we're coming together to worship God, then why aren't you here? It doesn't matter about me. It does not matter whether you're here for me or not, whether I'm here or not. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is our God is to be ready to be worshipped. And when we come with our eyes so heavy that we can't hold them open because we didn't make plans to worship Him, did we really give our life to Him? Did we really become a disciple of His? That's a question you're going to have to answer. And it's not just that. It's a whole host of life events. What is it that's hindering me in my relationship with God? We talk about those for the rest of our life. What is hindering me from my perfect relationship with God? He's not. And so the question then is posed, what do you want to do? Are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? Are you ready to have all the blessings that He's promised us in Him? Are you ready to come into contact with His blood? Are you ready to be forgiven of your sins? Are you ready to receive the grace of God and His mercy? Are you ready to receive all of those blessings that God is ready to just pour, lavish on you? If you are, then one thing still remains. You see, baptism, and I offered an invitation a few weeks ago, and I'm preaching this today because I offered an invitation a few weeks ago with a very specific intent, and I apologize, but it was misunderstood what I said. And what I said in 8 words out of a 30-minute lesson wasn't completely grasped. And you see, when we take something a little bit out of its context, we don't fully understand it. And so what I said was, baptism is not for the forgiveness of sins. And I still believe that, because I don't think we can limit baptism to one thing. Baptism is far greater than just the forgiveness of sins. Baptism is to put me in Jesus Christ, where I receive forgiveness of sins. Does baptism and forgiveness happen simultaneously? Absolutely, it does. We can't take them, we cannot separate those two. But so does grace of God. God blesses us with His love at baptism. God blesses us with heaven, with our assurance of our home that's already been prepared at baptism. God guarantees us that no one, that His love cannot be stolen from us or taken from us at baptism. God has torn a curtain away and removed it so we can walk right in to the Holy of Holies where He is and talk to Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the rest of our life at baptism. Why? Because God gave us baptism as that very specific time, that place in the history of our life where we come in contact with Jesus Christ. And when we are immersed into His possession, when we are immersed into Him because He's the Lord of our life, oh, everything is ours. God says, you're forgiven. God says, you're at peace. God says, I have washed you and I've sanctified, I've set you apart, I've justified you, I account you as righteous. I'm giving you eternal life. Every bit of that. When we give our life up and we allow ourselves to be immersed into Jesus Christ. Is it essential? You better believe it. Because it's what puts me in Jesus Christ. And so we offer an invitation to Jesus, not to me, not to what I think, not to what I want, not to what I believe or I hope or anything else, but we offer an invitation to Jesus Christ. Do you want to be clothed with Him? Paul says in Galatians 3:27, we who have been baptized into Christ are now clothed with Him. Do you want to be clothed with Christ? Do you want to have all of that assurance? There's only one way to do it. And that's through giving our life up from this world and giving it to Him. And God gave us that one act so that we can look for the rest of our life and know with absolute certainty whose I am, where I belong, and every single blessing and promise that He has offered us. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. If you this morning are in a place in your life where you're ready and you desire all of that, you can have all of it. You want forgiveness of sins? You can't do it without being immersed into Jesus Christ. Do you want the grace of God?
Great, close it.